This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday. Yeah. Thursday, September 19th, 2019. And 19, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jay Gutierrez. Thanks a lot for joining us today. Got a good show planned for you. 6:20, we're going to talk to Buster Olney from ESPN, our baseball insider. Get his thoughts on what's going on in the world of baseball before we kick it into all football gear with Tim Grunhard. He'll be in studio right after that at 6:30. He'll be with us for about an hour and a half, and we'll talk to Grunny about the big matchup between the Chiefs and the Ravens on Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. And so Tim Grunhard in studio at 6:30. Gary Lezak with your forecast after that. We'll have Gary Barnett, our college football insider, who joins us every Thursday at 8:05. And so he'll be on the show in the 8 o'clock hour to talk about college football. Get his thoughts on the two big showdowns for Mizzou and for Kansas this weekend. Mizzou hosting South Carolina and Kansas hosting West Virginia, as Kansas State enjoys a bye week before they take their show on the road against Oklahoma State. We'll also get Coach Barnett's thoughts about all three schools winning last week, the impressive win by Kansas State at Mississippi State, and of course KU's victory over Boston College. So the coach, Gary Barnett, will be in studio. Oh, I wish he was in studio. We'll be on the phone on the show at 8:05. Maybe we can get the coach in studio when he's in town for the Tiger Club of Kansas City. I know it's a different day, but who knows? You know, it'd be good to see him in here.
We could adjust the schedule.
I mean, he only comes to the Tiger Club once a year.
I think that'd be awesome.
It's coming up in the next couple of weeks, and maybe you could put out some feelers and see if we can move some things around.
I'll mention that to him.
Because it'll be a Tuesday, and so, I mean, I'll give up my spot for Coach Barnett.
I don't think that's necessary. But thanks for being willing.
Right.
I appreciate the willingness.
Nate will give up his spot, he said.
Well, I don't know if that's necessary either, Nate. That's awfully nice of you.
I'll take the whole day off if you need me to.
All right. Well, you heard it. Gary Barnett in for Nate coming up in a couple of weeks. Dion Clisso from Preps KC will talk about high school football with us at 9:30. So we got all that going for us between now and 10 o'clock, and of course, Thursday night football is on tap tonight. Anyone have any interest in a little Thursday night football? These primetime games are...
I'm intrigued to see if Jalen Ramsey will play.
Well,
I mean, that's...
Right.
I mean, that's what my full attention will be on.
Is that be a topic during the broadcast at all?
I think, you know, over under, I would put it like two. Whether I bet they talk about it two times.
Oh, I bet it's more.
Way Joe more. Buck is going to express
more.
Some outrage.
That is disgusting. I'm sure it'll be the main topic.
I wish it was a better game. I mean,
Thursday night just doesn't seem to have that many great matchups, does it?
Oh, go ahead and take a look at the upcoming Monday Night Football schedule and get back to me. And this game will look like the Super Bowl.
Really?
Oh, really? No, really.
Really?
Oh, really? Really? Mm. No, it was, I took a look at that last week because that was awful, right? Did anyone really... Besides me winning my fantasy football game because of Baker Mayfield's 89-yard touchdown pass to Odell Beckham Jr., did anyone really enjoy that game?
No.
Outside of Cleveland Browns fans?
Nope.
Right? I mean, that was a dud. Okay. So, Monday Night Football matchups coming up. Bears at Redskins. All right, but...
It's okay.
Redskins, I don't care.
Yeah. Redskins don't excite you too much, but they might. Well, it'll be interesting to watch just to see if the Bears are, you know, going to continue to struggle or.
Is Trubisky their quarterback? They'll continue to struggle.
Yeah. I mean, they won their division last year, though, right?
Right. Right. He's, you want to talk about regression, he's regressed, you know.
I'm not a fan. I mean, I don't believe in him, but, you know, they got a great defense, and they were a playoff team, so it'd just be interesting to see. Will they continue to struggle? Will they put things back together? That's the only intrigue on that one.
Right. Then after that, Bengals at Steelers?
Not so much.
Why not?
Well, the Bengals are terrible.
Uh-huh.
And so far, the Steelers are not very good.
And who will their quarterback be?
Mason Rudolph. Yeah.
Think that's a good Monday night matchup?
I don't know. I don't think that is.
Browns and 49ers would be all right. But again, I think I've already seen enough of the Browns.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being force-fed the Browns. Lions and Packers. I guess the Lions would be all right. I mean, I don't know. Again, that's the team that I don't look forward to watching. I don't seek out the Lions.
Nope.
Anytime you see Aaron Rodgers, though,
Patriots at Jets.
It's just,
you got to be a great Monday Night Football matchup.
It's like every one of these games features one decent team and then one terrible.
That's an embarrassing matchup. Patriots and Jets.
But it's New York.
But they suck.
I know.
Okay, the next Monday Night Football matchup. What about Dolphins Steelers?
No.
Oh.
Uh-uh.
Oh.
You see where I'm going with this, right?
They ought to pull the Dolphins off any primetime games right now.
Then Cowboys at Giants. I don't want to see the Giants. They suck too.
Yeah.
Then finally you start to get in some good matchups. But like for the next, those are all your Monday Night Football matchups. Just,
you need fantasy
awful
players involved to be real interested in any of those games.
Well. Yeah.
Right. And maybe not even then. Like, I don't know if none of those games I look at and like, oh, I can't wait to watch that game. It's going to be great. That's like the next six or seven games on Monday Night Football. Like, none of those. Those are all games like maybe if they were on CBS or Fox and nothing else was on. But then I just watched the Red Zone channel. I still wouldn't watch those games. And so it's just, I don't know. Flex! I wish they could flex Monday Night Football. You'd try to adjust that schedule.
I bet ESPN wishes they could, too.
I mean, they've got to look at that like, oh, this is a disaster.
Well, I mean.
Oh, no.
Hopefully, whoever's doing the TV negotiations for them figures that out. Hey, these other networks, they're able to switch their games. Can't we?
You know, it kind of makes you wonder. Please? What went into the thinking of some of these games? But
right.
Markets.
You know, it also kind of underscores, we were talking about the fact that Sunday Night Football seems to have taken over as the primetime night. Because, boy, there's some good Sunday night games.
Nah, they brought Hank Jr. for the intro back on Monday Night Football.
Well,
there's some good games. Plus, they have the ability to flex. Right?
Not until week five?
But they do. It happens.
You know, they can do it at some point.
Yeah. They don't have to, but they have the opportunity to flex.
But like, look at like this week, Sunday night is Rams Browns. I know you said you're a little tired of the Browns, but I mean that Rams Browns is a pretty good game, right? The next week, Cowboys Saints. Now, they had no way of knowing that Drew Brees was going to get hurt.
It's still a big matchup.
It's a big matchup. Then you got the Colts and Chiefs. I mean, Sunday night's where it's at.
Colts went to overtime against the Chargers and then won at the Titans.
Yep.
I mean, it's a good roster. You know, yeah, we know the quarterback situation, but it's a good roster.
Jake, you were in on that. We said Jacoby Brissett. That team was still going to be good. I expected them.
It's to drop. They were one of the top three favorites for the AFC, and you know they lost their quarterback. I still thought that they would be in the hunt for a wild card spot.
Nate said the Colts could bite him.
Well, they looks like they are biting them right in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm getting you.
My official prediction has them winning their division, but if I had time, remember I said on the air that I would have switched it.
It's your gut
even
feeling.
Before Luck got hurt, you didn't like it.
That's right.
It's going to end up being right. I hate this pick. I wish I could make it.
What if they're good without Luck?
That'd be amazing.
In your face.
Look at how, I mean, that division is completely falling apart.
Then I'll just brag about how I got it right in the magazine.
Of course you will. Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, take.
That's when we'll let you, we'll go to the tape then.
Yeah, then I will
we'll
pull
figure
that.
Figure out a way. I mean, they could. I mean, why couldn't they win the division?
Well,
it's just Houston.
Yeah, right.
That's their...
Exactly.
They already won at Tennessee. And, I mean, Jacksonville.
Poof. Right.
That's a train wreck tonight, right?
It seems like that division is always mediocre.
Well, the last couple of years it's been pretty... I mean, 2 years ago,
there's always
about
like,
last
year.
Like
there's always a couple 9-7 teams.
Yeah, but I mean, there's always competitive teams. I mean, there's teams that
so I mean, like mediocre.
They beat up on each other.
It's like mediocre. Like the AFC East is always terrible, and then the Patriots are awesome. But that division always seems like there's a bunch of teams between 7-9 and 9-7.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to think last year the Colts were a pretty darn good team, and the year before that, Jacksonville went to the AFC Championship game, and the Texans have been strong both those seasons. Even putting up with injuries to J.J. Watt and Watson in those, you know, back-to-back seasons.
Yeah, I haven't thought of any of them as legitimate Super Bowl contenders.
Titans beat the Chiefs 2 years ago at Arrowhead in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but that was not like a great Titans team. That was a choke job by the Chiefs. I don't think of any of them as like, I've never thought of a team in that division as like a real Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, because the Patriots are in the AFC, so no one really is a real contender.
Yeah, but like, I thought the Chiefs were last year. I've thought in the past that the Colts were, or the Steelers were, or the Ravens. I don't remember anybody coming out of that division me going, oh yeah, that team, they're a Super Bowl contender.
I don't know what to tell you. That's the way you feel.
Yeah.
Opinions aren't wrong.
Nope.
Unless of course they are. And so we'll see that division showcase tonight. So bottom line is Jacksonville. Anyway.
I guess the point was that going into the season, it looked like this division was going to be stronger than it appears to be now.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's the point I guess I'm trying to make.
Well, yeah. I mean, two of the quarterbacks are out.
Right.
That's going to affect things. Andrew Luck and Nick Foles. You have one of the, top five quarterbacks in football going in, Andrew Luck and the former Super Bowl MVP that signed an $80 million deal that was... And look, I'll be honest with you. We could say what we want about that first game, and Minshew looked good for a while, but how different would that first game have been had Andrew Luck got knocked out? What play did he get knocked out on? A touchdown pass?
Yeah.
A beautiful touchdown pass, right?
Was that their first possession? I mean, he got knocked out the first or second possession.
He drove right down and threw a touchdown pass, and on the touchdown pass, he got knocked out. You know? I mean, Nick Foles, I don't need to tell you, Jake, Nick Foles was really, really good.
Oh, I think it's a huge disappointment that he got knocked out. I mean, I was looking forward to seeing him and what he would look like as a starter in this league. I mean,
that altered, I mean,
oh, hugely.
Minshew's fine. He wears fun outfits to games and everything, but it's
How many first team snaps do you think he took going into that week? You know,
none. I mean, he was supposed to. Foles was supposed to turn everything around, and who am I to say he wouldn't have? But I mean, when you lose your starting quarterback to a broken collarbone, and was it the first drive? Second drive, and right off the bat in the season. I mean, that's kind of significant.
Giant gut punch.
You know, same thing to the Colts, but the Colts have, I think, more around.
They were prepared for it, you know.
Well, Jacoby Brissett, yeah.
They know what life without Andrew Luck looks like, and they had that, and now they're in that position again. So it's not unfamiliar territory.
All that said, not interested in watching them anymore.
Titans so, minus
tonight,
4.5.
You know, the Ramsey side story.
Yeah,
will be fine. That'll be good. But that's Thursday night football tonight. And so that'll just be an appetizer to get us to the big college games on Saturday. And then, of course, the Chiefs and the Ravens on Sunday. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, who are Super Bowl contenders in the AFC? Chiefs and the Patriots.
Yep.
Maybe the Ravens. Maybe. I say that with a big maybe.
Nope.
You know, we'll learn more about them Sunday.
Right. As of right now, I'll say no.
Yeah, I don't think so. But if they have the best defense in the AFC and Jackson has taken this big of a step forward, I'll at least put them in the category.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the next tier. They're in, I mean, I think the Browns and the Ravens or whoever wins that division, I guess, would be the third team looking to, you know, I don't think the Texans, I don't know, you throw them in the mix.
Some people still throw the Chargers in the mix, whether you want to laugh at that or not.
Sure.
Maybe when they get some guys back.
Sure,
you know,
I'll laugh at that right now. Ahead. Currently.
Put them in the mix.
I go with the full roster? Yeah, sure. But the way they look right now, no Hunter Henry, no Melvin Gordon. Their defense, I mean, missing guys.
You haven't even mentioned the best player they have missing in Derwin James.
Right, James. I mean, that's
better than Gordon or Henry.
He's out for the year, right? Is that right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, has that been declared?
If they get those guys back, I mean, they, you never know. They can make a late push in the season. So,
I would not anticipate them beating the Patriots.
No, I wouldn't either. He's on IR, but I guess that he could be designated for return.
He had a stress fracture in the fifth metatarsal in his foot, and so he's scheduled to miss, likely to miss 3 months. That would put his return sometime in November. So come back towards the end, hopefully after they've been buried in the standings.
Yeah,
you know, they are coming off a loss to Detroit, but everyone just wants to look past all that because they just want to hope that they're. Predictions of the Chargers winning the division are right when the Chargers are not going to win. Newsflash, the Chiefs are winning the AFC West. I just want to let everyone know that. I'm going to throw that out there and see how you like it.
I like it.
Let all the national pundits pick the Chargers. Oh, you know, I really like Rivers this year. I don't care how close it was. Who wins the division every year?
Andy Reid?
That's right, Chiefs.
Big Red.
Okay, and so until someone knocks him off, you're foolish to pick against him. So stay foolish, national pundits. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's say hello to our friend and our baseball insider from ESPN, Buster Olney. Buster, good morning. How about that AL home run champ, Jorge Soler?
There you go, right? I remember when we were talking in late May about, okay, what's possible in terms of the trade market, and I just mentioned, yeah, Soler is not very highly regarded, and you know, questions about, you know, just how good he was and his performance, and then he's just been going off. It's pretty cool to see him, you know, take a step forward. Mike Trout being out probably helps, but for the Kansas City Royals, given their long history of relying on teams with speed and defense and not necessarily big home run numbers, it's pretty cool to see him have this year, which, you know, presumably will put him in a better position within the industry as he moves forward.
What do you think the Royals will do with him? Because now he's got that clause in his contract where he can opt out and go through arbitration, and instead of settling for the $4 million, that's the obvious choice. But, you know, the Royals could just go to arbitration with him. They could sign him to a long-term deal, or they could dip their toe in the trade market again. What do you think the future is for the Royals and Jorge Soler?
My guess would be that it would be to go to arbitration. It would make sense for him to do that. It probably would lead to him getting paid more than the $4 million. I still don't think, because, I mean, my goodness, by the end of the year, we're going to have 130, 140 guys who are going to have 20 more homers. So home runs are not going to be a necessarily coveted commodity in the trade market. And on the other hand, I think if you're the Royals, you're probably intrigued by his improvements this year, and would be betting that he would continue to be a good player. And the one thing we've seen with Dayton Moore, look, he's not going to, you know, he's not in a position where he's just going to strip down his roster and turn it into a 55-win team the way that we've seen with some of the other clubs. So I would expect that he's going to be back, and I would expect that it would be through the arbitration route.
So, Buster, one of the things I think is going to be interesting down the stretch is the MVP race, because in both the National League and American League, you mentioned that Mike Trout is out for the year. Christian Yelich in the same situation on the Milwaukee side, on the National League side. Will that muddy up the MVP race? How do you see that breaking down in both the American League and National League?
100%. I think it's, I mean, I don't know if I'd call it completely wide open, but I think it's certainly the minds of the voters are going to be open because of what's happened. Look, if I had a vote, I would vote for Mike Trout. To me, he's far and away the best player in the American League, and he could have taken the last month off, and I'd still vote for him. But I think for a lot of voters, it will matter that he has only 20 plate appearances in the month of September, while, on the other hand, Alex Bregman continues to play in meaningful games for the Astros and continue to, you know, compile counting numbers. And I think that if Trout doesn't win it, that Alex Bregman is going to have a real shot to win it. The National League, it's not only Yelich being hurt, but Cody Bellinger, you know, his 45th home run last night aside, has really struggled of late. And we saw him the other night on Sunday Night Baseball. He's clearly confused. His numbers have been drifting downward. And Anthony Rendon of the Nationals is finishing very strongly in OPS, close to 1,100. I think there's a chance Rendon winds up taking it away from the other two guys.
Should be a hell of a race down the stretch. Also, Buster, there are some people that maybe took advantage of what you say was a no-brainer bet at the beginning of the season, and now they are celebrating the Baltimore Orioles with every loss. What about that one?
Yeah, I had about 0.1 seconds in my mind when I saw the over-under on the Baltimore Orioles pre-spring training at 59.5, where you're like, you know, should I quit my job and bet the whole family farm and everything I own on this? Because it's about as close to a sure thing as I've ever seen. Because you remember last year, the Orioles won, what, 49 games? And they stripped down even further. There was no thought that they were actually, no reason to think that they were going to get better, especially playing in the same division as teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox. And as it turns out, the Rays are really good. And yesterday's loss, 103, which clinches the fact that if you took the under, which I certainly would have, on 59.5 before spring training, that, you know, all those people are getting paid. And I mentioned on Twitter a little while ago, and a couple people said, yeah, we took that bet. I followed, listened to what you said. So I have my regrets this morning.
So does it surprise you that Detroit's found a way to be even worse?
Oh, my God. Their run differential going into today is minus 299. To put that into perspective, the greatest team that we've seen in our lifetime, the 98 Yankees, their run differential, I believe, was plus 309. And I had a conversation the other day with a really prominent National League player and asked him, hey, are the bad teams worse than the great teams are great in baseball? And he said, no doubt about it. And he was talking about what an embarrassment the American League has become. Tigers and Orioles are right at the forefront of that.
Let's talk about the wild card races in the National League. The Nationals have a game and a half lead over the Brewers and the Cubs, but the Brewers, even though they lost their last game, they've been surging 8-2 in their last 10. Are the Cubs in trouble?
100% they're in trouble. Look, if you look at the Brewers' remaining schedule, it's against all non-contending teams. One game today against the Padres, then they face the Pirates who have rolled over, then they face the Reds, and then they face the Rockies in Colorado. And meanwhile, the Cubs today start a four-game series with the Cardinals. Seven of their last 10 games are against the Cardinals. They don't have Javier Baez. They don't have Anthony Rizzo. Cole Hamels has been struggling. John Lester was better yesterday, but generally speaking, he struggled. The Cubs are in real trouble, which, you know, presumably could mean the end of Joe Maddon's tenure as their team if they don't go deep into the postseason.
What about the American League? The A's are up two games in the wild card race, but then the Tampa Bay Rays are just a half game ahead of the Cleveland Indians.
I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I feel like, I mean, look, baseball's got three super teams, the Astros, the Yankees, and the Dodgers. We've been talking about them all year. If you were to say, okay, which team in baseball is the most dangerous for those teams, I got Oakland. Oakland is playing great right now. They're a strong defensive team. They just got back your man, Sean Manaea, who's been pitching great. He could wind up throwing the wild card game. Jesus Luzardo, A.J. Puck, terrific young pitcher. That team just seems to be getting better and better and better. They've got a two-game lead in the wild card race. You know, we'll see if it's Cleveland, we'll see if it's the Rays, but Oakland will be the favorite in the wild card game if, in fact, they wind up hosting it.
Hey, Buster, on a different note, last night, Gerrit Cole, one of those super teams, the Astros, surpassed 300 strikeouts, and we're still in mid-September. He's got 302. In today's age of strikeouts for both pitchers and hitters being elevated, can you still put into context what kind of a season he's had and what it means for him to be at 302 strikeouts right now?
Yeah, it's remarkable, and I think that, and I haven't double-checked this note this morning, but my colleague Sarah Langs noted that the last tandem of teammates to go 300-300 was Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson, which really puts into context the work of Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole. Look, strikeouts are up, but we've seen starting pitchers don't go as deeply as they used to into games. So for Gerrit Cole to reach that mark says a lot about the progress that he's made as a pitcher. And my God, the timing couldn't be better, because we're going to talk all winter about how he's going to be the most coveted free agent pitcher. And every executive I talked to said, yeah, he's going to break the record. David Price currently holds the record, biggest contract ever for a pitcher, $217 million when he signed with the Red Sox. And everybody seems to think that Gerrit Cole is going to get more than that.
Sunday Night Baseball, Phillies and Indians. Indians battling for their playoff lives, Buster. Thank you so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys. Have fun.
That's Buster only. You're damn right we'll have fun, Buster. He knows us. He knows we're going to have fun on this Thursday, getting ready for a big football weekend. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We certainly do appreciate it. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez, and, of course, Tim Grunhard.
It's Thursday morning. Excuse me.
You nailed it.
Frog in my throat.
Right.
Thursday morning. Still feels like Friday is when I come in here still. Got to get through
it's
that.
Good.
I wish it was Friday.
I do, too.
I can tell you that right now. I
wake up, I'm like, all right.
Now.
Going in to do the show. It's
we get two Fridays.
Yeah.
Friday Junior.
All right, Timmy, let's get right to the bad news and get that out of the way.
All right.
All right, then later on we can cleanse the palate. Eric Fisher is going to be out after he flew to Philadelphia to undergo surgery on a core muscle injury. Here is Rick Burkholder, who spoke to the media yesterday. He was at the podium and described Eric Fisher's injury.
Thanks, Ted. So Eric Fisher on Friday before the Raiders game had a what looked to be a groin injury late in the practice. Mm. We listed him as questionable, and then he played in the game and only played briefly. We've since consulted with Dr. Bill Myers in Philadelphia, and Eric is on his way to see Dr. Myers now with the intent of having that core muscle injury repaired tomorrow. So we'll keep you updated as that unfolds. Thank you.
Spare me surgery.
Thank you. And gone.
Not gone.
No, I mean Rick Burkholder was
gone. Oh, I thought you were talking about Eric Fisher.
No.
So our old good buddy Jafar Armstrong from Bishop Miege High School and at Notre Dame did the same thing. I just talked to him last weekend. Had the same exact surgery. They put a little mesh in there to kind of help it to kind of connect again. And he's moving around pretty good. So I know a little bit younger, kind of different position, all that kind of stuff. But I would expect Fisher to be back by the second half of the season.
Felipe Gutierrez had that surgery last year for Sporting Kansas City, and he missed about half the season.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's fine with him, and that's fine with him. But what does this mean for an offensive lineman, a left tackle, that has to protect my damn quarterback?
Well, I don't think you have to worry too much about Cam Irving's pass protection. As last week, he was ranked, I think, the number one pass protector by Pro Football Focus. I think he was in the 90s. But his run blocking was atrocious. It was the worst. So he was the best in pass protection, the worst in run. Now, the Chiefs look horrible running the football right now. And I don't know if that's by design. I don't know if that's not a point of emphasis. But last week, I think Shady had 11 carries for like 23 yards. Williams had 9 carries for 8 yards. Thompson had 1 carry for 1 yard. And listen, I know people are saying, well, don't worry about it. They're throwing the ball down the field, and, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to carry us to the promised land, which may all be fine and good. I mean, that may be true, but you got to find a way. And I know Patrick was asked about, I don't know if you can find it, Jacob, throwing you kind of for a curveball here, but he was asked by Saran, which I thought was a great question. He said, listen, you know, do you have to run the ball in this day and age? And I don't think it was coach speak or player speak. I don't think it was company line. You do have to find a way to run the ball in order to kind of keep defenses honest. You know, the last thing you need, you know, is the Raiders started. Hold on, let's stick with the run thing, and then we go to the Raiders and what they tried to do to the Chiefs. And for the first quarter, they had some success and then struggled. But you got to find a way to run the ball. So Cam Irving really needs to pick up and focus a little bit on this run blocking thing. It doesn't look like he puts a lot of effort into it, and doesn't look like he really knows what he's doing in run blocking. But he was athletic enough to do a pretty good job of protecting the quarterback, and that's the most important thing right now.
Is that common? Is that a normal thing for an offensive lineman to be far better at one aspect of it than the other?
No. I mean, you could be better, you know, like, you know, this, I'm better at hitting the fastball, but, you know, I can make contact on a slider.
I just thought it was like, are some guys better kind of retreating, so to speak, as opposed to, you know.
Yeah, there are guys that are better pass blockers than run blockers, but you got to be about 60-40 if you're going to play. You got to be about 60-40. I was a much better run blocker than pass blocker. But I played center, so I didn't really particularly need to be a great pass blocker. Listen, here's the deal. When you don't get a lot of reps, and I would assume that Cam Irving didn't get a lot of reps, you could kind of rely on your natural technique and the things that you've done your whole career in pass blocking. Your set's going to be pretty much the same. Your hand placement's going to be pretty much the same. The way that you go about studying the guy that you're going to go against, pretty much the same. But when you're not in the mix in run blocking and all the different combinations and all the different calls and all the different things that you have to do with angles in order to secure the block of the guy in front of you, or you're blocking back, or whatever you're doing, the footwork, all that stuff, you don't get a lot of reps in that, it suffers. So I think that's what you saw. You saw a guy who, listen, kind of is a good pass blocker, has always been a good pass blocker, and didn't get a lot of reps in the run game, so hopefully it'll be better this week.
So do you think Eric Fisher will have any problems coming back from that injury this season?
Anytime you hurt the core as an offensive lineman, it's a concern, because, you know, you do so much in that area. So, it's a concern. I don't think he'll ever be completely 100%, and I do think that there's a chance that he could struggle because of this injury the rest of the year. But I do think he'll have an opportunity to come back in, and listen, these trainers and these doctors nowadays we work miracles with a lot of this stuff. But anytime you hurt your back, or you hurt your ab, or you hurt your groin, or you hurt your hip as an offensive lineman, it's horrible. You can limp around with a knee. I did it for 9 years. You could tape up an ankle and gimp around a little bit with an ankle, but anytime you're messing with the back, the ab, the core, or a hip, or a groin, you're in big trouble.
So the old adage in football used to be that you wanted your left tackle to be a great pass blocker and your right tackle was your big mauler, because teams wanted to play right-handed. The quarterback's right-handed. You want to run off the right side of the line. But Jeff Fisher is a tremendous pass-blocking right tackle.
He's a mediocre coach. He always goes 8-8.
Jeff Fisher, wow. Jeff Schwartz, that's true. Jeff, I don't know about him as a pass blocker. Jeff Schwartz, though, is
Jim
pretty Schwartz? Good.
Jeff Schwartz is retired. What are you doing?
Mitchell Schwartz. I got neither name right. On
you know
the
what?
First
I'm sitting
one.
Here. I'm sitting here shaking my head too. So I don't know.
Jeff Fisher is a good name.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher.
Thanks for going with me, Grunny. Yeah. Like, you know, I could have just gone with
Jeff
that.
Jeff Fisher was a heck of a linebacker for the Bears.
but is that adage outdated? In terms of, you want your maulers on the right side of the offensive line and your pass blocker on the left side of the offensive line?
Is it outdated? That's a good question, even though it got there in a kind of a weird way. Let's answer that at the break. Okay. Let me think about that. And then also, I want to talk a little bit about some of the adjustments the Chiefs made in pass protection. The first quarter was a disaster. Pass protection, timing, everything. We'll talk a little bit about that. And it's a flip the switch like they did. That's great coaching. And we'll talk a little bit about that.
We'll be right back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Reminder, I'll be broadcasting my half of the show live tomorrow from Tickets for Less, where the Chiefs home opener, of course, is almost here, and tickets are selling faster than ever before. So come out, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of advice. Come out and see me tomorrow at Tickets for Less.
Uh-oh.
If you're looking for tickets to anything, there's going to be some great deals. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I don't know. Can I come out?
Come out there and buy tickets to the Mizzou, South Carolina game. Come out there and buy tickets to Kansas, West Virginia. Come out there and buy tickets to Chiefs and Ravens. Mm. Come out there and buy tickets to Chiefs and everything.
Mm.
How's that sound to you?
Sounds good.
Landed myself a ticket for the Chiefs game.
Of course
you
did.
Yeah, baby.
So I guess I'm the only one.
From who?
Epler.
Jeez. Is there something going on?
I sure would like to go to the games now.
Don't you worry about it, pal.
I don't have a ticket.
Yeah.
Somebody will come through, Jake.
Don't you worry about it.
This little...
Don't worry about where we live. Don't worry about where we hang out.
Is this a Leawood arrangement?
We don't technically live in Leawood, but we live close.
Yeah, technically, close enough.
So Jake, if I this week I'm actually going to the game, but there'll be a lot of times I'm not going. But I do have a 23-year-old son who likes to go to the games, but he likes to have a couple, you know, beers.
You
roll with them, give them
absolutely
a ride. You can sit at the club level with them, hang out.
It'll be an experience.
We just ride them around. You guys would get along.
I can give them the pounder experience.
There you go.
Do you like to play DraftKings?
He loves to play with them? Yeah. You guys got a little group? I got a little group.
Like Cash?
Put me in your group.
Cash, you want to be in a group?
I'm just solo.
All right, I'll put you in the group.
I'm going to tell you what, DeMarcus Robinson took me home last weekend. Hey, it was like, bah! The most ever one. I was like, bah! I'm like, kids, look at this. Don't ever gamble with bah!
And anyway, you guys laughed at me when I said the Chiefs would win 35-10. And they, you know, they could have. They just kind of pulled off at the end. But 28-10.
They're one
good for you.
One call away, a holding call away.
Yeah, and then they also had the ball in the red zone at the end of the game and kind of just shut her down.
Right. So.
We've been all hot and heavy for the Chiefs to trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick or Jalen Ramsey. Should the Chiefs be in the market for an offensive lineman?
Ooh, good question. Yes, I think they should be. They've had a propensity, look at that word here,
early
in the morning, of having injuries up front. And, you know, although I like the kid they picked up from, what was it, Buffalo? Was it? No, who was it? Was it Buffalo? They picked him up from the trade with Carlos Hyde. Where did Carlos Hyde go? Why am I drawing a blank?
Texans.
The Texans. They picked up a kid from the Texans. I believe his name is Rankin. I like that kid. I think he's got a big upside to him. You have Cam Irving, who's he's a nice player, and then you have Jeff Allen, who's kind of the Swiss Army knife of this offensive line. He can pretty much play any position other than center. But real quick, they need to find a way to run the ball. I think this week could be a good time to do it. You could communicate much better at home. It's just easier to kind of get your calls and all those kind of things. I would like to see him pick up a little bit of the running game. Hey, listen, I'm not asking for a lot. I'm asking for like 100 yards rushing. Is that too much? If, you know, between the whatever back is going to play, because there are, you know, injuries. You know, McCoy's got an ankle. Williams didn't practice. You know, Thompson, we'll see what happens. So, they have Darrell Williams, I guess, who could jump in there and play. But they have some issues at the running back position right now. I would not be surprised to see a guy like DeAnthony Thomas getting the ball in some of these reverses, or Mecole Hardman maybe winding up in the backfield and kind of moving around too. So, but as far as protection, guys, the Chiefs did a really nice job. In the first quarter, they struggled because the Raiders were showing blitz, and Mahomes was getting rid of the ball really quickly, but off of time. So they made some adjustments. I'll try to get to this as the show goes on, because I think it's really interesting the way that Andy Heck and Andy Reid being the offensive line coach, made these adjustments and really gave him a lot of time. And by the time they made those adjustments, the clown suits were being fitted for the safeties, because the safeties had no clue what was going on. The safeties look like electric football guys, where they're spinning around, those guys are spinning around. Those were the safeties of the Raiders.
That offensive lineman the Chiefs got from the Texans, Timmy's ranking him pretty high.
Hey!
Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Thanks for watching us on the TV portion. Coming up, Tim Grunhardt stays in studio, then Gary Lezak, then Gary Barnett, then Deion Clouseau, and in between all that, we have plenty of Chiefs sound from out at Arrowhead Stadium that took place yesterday. But right now, Tim Grunhardt talks more Chiefs with us right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.